Good morning, everyone. Welcome. I was speaking to a guy yesterday, and he said that he's terrified of trees. He's got a phobia. I said, don't worry. The bark is worse than its bite. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's worship God. Come on. That's what we're here for. I've got a rebellious front row. I'll deal with that.
Hallelujah. We worship you, O God. You're worthy of all the praise. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, Lord God. And even as these hymns fan the flames of revival past, may the flames of revival hit this place tonight. Be deep in our hearts tonight, we pray. Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all.
Jesus, that this morning the river is here. Thank you, Father, your Holy Spirit is already moving. Thank you that there's never a drought or a famine in heaven. Thank you, Father, that you want to bless us more and more and more. Holy Spirit, we come this morning with our baggage, our tiredness, our problems, our anxieties, our fears, and we say, meet with us, Holy Spirit. Help us to put our baggage at your feet and receive all that you have for us. Meet with us this morning, we pray, that as we go, we'll know we've been in the presence of Almighty God. So keep coming, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Now, before you sit down, go and bless someone. Don't chat to them, just go and give them a blessing. You've got 2 minutes, all right? Hello, pleased to see you. Let me bless you. Hello, please, let me pray a blessing on you. A quick 1 minute blessing. Off you go. Bang. And I'm pleased you're back, Rosie. Okay, that's it. That's your 2 minutes. Take your seats, please. Start heading back to your zone. Sit down. Shut up. All right. Just behave. Take your seats, please, ladies and gentlemen. A man was in the pub, and on the counter was a jar with money in it. And he carefully poured it out onto the bar. And the barman said, "Why did you do that?" And it said, "Tip jar." No, she said no. Right. Notices. Oof. I had I had to go to the doctors this week. I had to go to the doctor. Suddenly phoned me up and said, we've got an appointment for you from last year. That was nice, wasn't it? So I went to the doctors and I took a urine sample. My kleptomania is out of control. Took a urine sample, as in... This week, warm hub, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Prayer meeting tomorrow afternoon. Life group Wednesday at 7, life group Thursday at 2. Food bank on Friday. Do keep praying that the contacts and the openings that we've developed, we're going to get them to go further. Do keep praying. We're having brilliant conversations and stuff's happening. And you're not allowed to be excited today. Do pray for next Saturday when we will be doing the second part of the healing course. And for those who are here, you'll know that we're going to start at 9:30. Don't forget that the... Why do you make me say this? The Shoreham Oratorio Choir. Do you know, somebody said to Chris, you're going to pay for this now. Somebody said to Chris, which choir do you sing in? And Chris told him, she says, oh, that's the posh one. Yeah, where they do stuff. Oh, she has. Listen, right, this is good. Focus on this. It's a full sentence. The Shoreham Oratorio Choir are doing their concert on the 18th of March at St. Mary's Church at 7:30. The cost will be £15. We are doing Mozart Requiem and some works with other composers. I think I preferred stuff. couple of other notices. Although we'd said it, we are going to be... Go back a sentence. We want to do more in the warm hub than just open up. And so we were going to try and start this week with the craft on Mondays, but we're just having to put that back a week. Is that right? But we want to eventually have different activities on each day so that people are not just coming because it's a warm space, but they can come and do something. If they want to do craft, maybe on another day we'll just have different games, activities, or knitting, or whatever it may be, just to try and encourage people not just to sit at home and be on their own. So that's what that was about. But it won't be starting this week, it'll be starting next week. There will be a craft group meeting on Friday the 17th of March here at 2 o'clock. There's a Dementia Friends meeting on Saturday the 22nd of April at Church of the Good Shepherd, and there's a notice on the board. Alright? Good. And I will put those here so you can come and check them afterwards. And if you didn't pay attention, John, then you can have a look afterwards to make sure you don't miss out. I always think camouflage is really clever. But my friend said he didn't see it at all. Here's one for you then. Jeannie, you'll like this one. In Europe, they call it a lift. In America, they call it an elevator. I guess we were just raised differently. I swallowed some food colouring the other day. I think I've died a little inside. Right. Seriously, be sensible now. We have... now I'm going to start that sentence again. Just rewind it on the tape. Hang on. There you go. We are touching people's lives like we've never done before here. We're having people who are coming just to talk to us on Fridays and so on. That's exciting, isn't it? But we weren't called just to be friends and have nice contacts. And we really need to begin to seek God to give us the right words at the right time to bring those people into the kingdom. Because wouldn't it be awful if we make wonderful friends with everybody? You can finish the sentence. And so, there's a challenge to us as we come to worship to say that we've got to go deeper. That we've got more to give away. It's a challenge on us to come into God's presence and say, Holy Spirit, come and take over. Because we need more. Because there's a world outside that's desperate for Jesus. They may not know it yet, but there's a heart that's just needing Jesus. So we're going to sing a hymn together. And the hymn just says, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holiness to be different, to be other than. A holy God that's different to the way gods react. If you look at the gods of the cults and so on, they live in fear of the God that will judge them and strike them and so on. What does God do? He's different. He's holy. He sends Jesus to die in our place. So we're going to sing a hymn. Then we're going to worship God. And at some point we're going to take communion together. But let's come into his presence and let God speak. But let's stand just for the hymn. Thank you, Grant. That's it. I know the second verse.
Lord God. who bless you. Praise you, Lord, for all that you do, for how you take care of your children. Lord, help us to be more like you. Help my heart to be soft and not become hard. Lord, bless you, Lord, for everything that you do.
The disciples sat down with Jesus, and at the start of the meal he took some bread, he blessed it, and then he gave it out to them. But as he broke it, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In other words, whenever you break bread together, remind yourself, "I died to set you free." Jeff and Maggie. So as they come round with the bread, eat. The bread isn't special. It's to remind you what he did for you. Jesus paid the full price. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. One of the biggest problems people have with communion is they recognize it reminds them that Jesus died for them. They forget the blood was to wash them clean. And so often we accept that we have been born again, we're saved, but we forget that all the things that we've done wrong are washed away. God doesn't look on us and say, I remember when you did this, that and the other. God looks on us and says, you're my beloved. The enemy will accuse you. So Jesus said, when you take the cup after supper, when you drink the wine, remind yourself that my blood has washed you clean. There is no stain left. And for that reason we can stand in the presence of God, washed clean. So once again I'm going to ask Maggie and Jeff if you wouldn't mind just coming and passing round the cup. Take the cup, take a moment, and just thank God before you drink it. And declare over yourself, even as you drink from this little cup, I am washed clean because of the blood of Jesus. And all the lies that the enemy has spoken, I'm not going to believe them anymore. So when you're ready, pray that prayer and then drink the cup. Amen. Please take your seats. We're going to change the order a bit, Graham. If you have a Bible, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Acts? I'm just going to move this because I'm going to walk into it otherwise. There is stuff going on around the world. The messages that we've been going through over the last few weeks and even months is the same message that's going on all around the world. Not because people have got together and said this is what we're going to speak about, but God is doing something all over the place. And it's the same message, and it's the same new life that God is calling us to. There are little mini revivals breaking out. Little fires starting to burn. God's doing something. And there's a challenge on us to ride the waves, if I can use that expression. You know when you're surfing, because I know you're all experienced surfers, just like me, and but you know, there's times when the waves are really great and they've just got to get out there and ride the wave. And once you're committed, it's out of your control. And God is looking for people around the world who are willing to say, I'll ride the wave. I have no idea how it's going to end up. But I want to do it. And here, even in Shoreham, God is looking for people who will say, we will ride the wave. We'll go with what God is doing. Because something is about to happen. When you have lots of little fires, they start to connect. And little fires become big fires, don't they? And there's a moment when it goes... We were messing about in Graham's garden last year. And we had a big pile of stuff to burn, didn't we? And Graham lit four little fires. And for a while, not much happened. And then suddenly those four little fires seemed to connect. And one minute we were seeing if the fire was alive, and the next minute the flames were touching the branches above. Is that right? That's what God's doing now. The little fires are getting ready. And if we're going to see all that God has laid in our hearts and the prophecies and the visions, even going back 20, 30, 40 years, we've got to get ready to ride the wave. Because stuff's going to happen. If I said that to my mother, she'd have gone mad. Stuff's going to happen. She said, what sort of language is that? You have to say, stuff is going to happen. So if you've got a Bible, turn to Acts chapter 3. Someone said to me the other day, what series are you doing at the moment? I said, we're not doing a series, but we do seem to have been in Acts for a while. Don't we? Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he would put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Taking him up by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That's a good story, isn't it? I've got a pen. It writes underwater. It also writes lots of other words. We looked recently at the baptism in the Spirit and how the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And I was listening to David Pawson, one of his introductions to Acts, the other day. And he was saying that he was actually in a prayer meeting. And he said, I made the mistake of closing my eyes. He said, because later on, the people that were leading the prayer meeting drew him a picture of the tongues of fire they saw touching everybody's head. He said, it only happened once. How many of you would like to be in that meeting? Mm-hmm. So we've got this fire that's fallen and they're full of the Spirit. And here we come to the next stage, and you've got this beggar sitting by the road, brought there, struck there to beg. His future, he hasn't got a hope. If he's lucky, he'll get enough money to eat. If he's really lucky, he might get a bit of money maybe to get some ointment for his legs or something like that. But his whole life is encapsulated in a day-by-day existence. When I went to Africa, in Tanzania, I met a man, and he would get up at 4 o'clock every morning, and he would cycle to the town, and he would buy a bag of charcoal. And he would cycle back to his village, and he would sit in front of the shop, and he would sell the charcoal. And if he sold the whole bag of charcoal, he would have enough to buy food for that day and buy charcoal for tomorrow. That was it. His life was all he had hoped for was, if I sell enough, tomorrow morning I'll be able to buy another bag of charcoal and I might get food for today. That was his whole life. That's the way the beggar's at. The beggar would have seen people walking past, feeling exactly how sometimes we feel. Do you know when you walk past someone and you pretend you're not looking? You suddenly pretend to be in a very deep conversation with a seagull. Or you go and you pat your pockets as if to say, I haven't got any money. And he'd have seen all of that, people just walking by, not really caring. So along comes Peter and John. He may have heard what happened on the day of Pentecost, because 3,000 people getting saved and stuff going, there'd have been gossip about it, but he didn't know who these guys were. And suddenly he sees people, he says, get some money, money. Peter and John stop and look at him. And then they say, look at us. Because why? Because most beggars don't look you, they look down. Because they're faced with humiliation and shame. You can't be proud and beg. Have you ever noticed that? You don't get people standing up to you in the street and say, I'm a success in life, please give me some money. The shame. So Peter says, lift your eyes up, look at us. And he lifts up his eyes as if to say, this is going to be good, I'm going to get some money. And he looks at them and sees they've got not very rich clothes. And his hope would have dropped, and he'd have said, okay, maybe they're going to shout at me, I'm a disgrace because I'm not doing this, that and the other. Maybe they're going to kick me because beggars are often kicked and mistreated. So he's got this rise of hope, no hope, hope, no hope. And then they say to him, we ain't got any money. And he thinks, well, what are you flipping stopped here for then? You're getting on my nerves, go away. They said, but what we've got, we'll give you. In the name of Jesus, walk. That's exciting, isn't it? And we all know that bit of the story, so that's fine, good, a little smart. But what it says is Peter grabs him and lifts him to his feet. What if he hadn't been healed? The man would have fallen over. He'd have hurt himself. Now, I was thinking about this and thinking, well, Sally goes down the road, going for a scampi and chips, and she sees a lame man. And she says, can I pray for you? And the lame man says, yeah, go ahead. And she says, but first, I've got to yank you to your feet. Now that's a big step of faith, isn't it? It's easy to pray for somebody when they're down there. It's a lot more faith to pull them up and say, stand up. Isn't it? Oh, is my spongy things come off? It's just to make sure you're awake. So the man gets healed. And this is how I expected you all to come to church today, but you didn't. Because it says he was jumping and praising God. Not one of you came in this morning going, hallelujah, isn't God great? Catch. So why is this story here? You see, that lame man is a picture of the church of today. Begging. Weak. No influence. A laughing stock. No, surely not. How many programs do you see where the Christian or the vicar is an object of ridicule? Anyone? How many churches do you drive past where they've got a flipping thermometer outside begging for money to restore the organ, the steeple, the pews, whatever? Anyone seen that? When did the Church of God become a beggar? When it stopped walking in the things of God. We got used to being lame and weak and ineffective. We got used to people walking by. And as churches in our country, we are lame and ineffective, and all we can do is beg. Most churches do not have a hope for today, let alone for tomorrow. If we can just survive another day, if we can just keep going. And I've told you before, there's a hymn in the Redemption Hymnal, hymn number 444, which should be burnt, because the song talks about, hold the fort. Jesus says, I am coming soon. And the image the hymn portrays is of Christians hanging on. Hopefully we can keep going till God gets here. But my Bible says that when the power of God is released, the gates of hell can't stand. Anyone else read that one? But what we've got is a church that's based in lameness, in weakness, hoping that something might happen. Being close to where the fire of God is falling, but never actually experiencing it. And most beggars never experience what's going on just round the corner, because they're stuck where they're put. And in our country, church has been put in a box. We're not allowed, theoretically, to say this, that and the other. Whilst no one is allowed to say anything against any other religion. You can mock and ridicule church, you can't do it to anybody else. Because we've been put in a place, and we've been lame, and we've been weak, and all we've ended up doing is begging, hoping for scraps, hoping we'll get something to keep us going. That's a black picture, isn't it? But that's reality. That's reality. So many churches died out because they never had anything of God. The other day, being a very domesticated person, I was doing my ironing. You're impressed by that, aren't you? Ironing away. And after a while, I noticed my clothes were not coming out immaculately ironed. The seams didn't seem quite right. The wrinkles weren't being dealt with. And I carried on, and after a while I realised something was wrong. The plug had come out. Now I carried on manfully for a moment, but I was doing more and more work for less and less results. Of course I'm not stupid. Put the plug back in, and immediately everything was fine. No, it wasn't. It had to wait for it to get the power to get to all parts of it and warm it up. But thank goodness that was all right. So I carried on with my ironing, but still something was wrong. They were not coming out the way I wanted them to come out. Because inadvertently, while faffing about, I'd knocked the thermostat dial right down. And so I was cool ironing. Now, I got a bit frustrated. I had severe words with the iron, I've got to tell you. I told it what would happen if it misbehaved again. But isn't that where so many churches are at? Where we've had a great experience with God, we've had fun with God, we've had a move of God, but then we took the plug out. Because we're quite happy with what we've had. And sometimes what we do is we plug in, but we turn the thermostat down. Just like that. And we say, God, we just want a little bit of heat, not too much heat. We want to turn it down. And what that means is we're doing more and more work for less and less result. This man is sitting by the side of the road. Peter could have come along and said, here you go, mate. Have a gold coin. Where would the bloke have been tomorrow? Sitting by the side of the road. Peter might have said, here you are, mate. Here's 10 gold coins. And the guy says, great. In a few days' time, where are you going to find him? Sitting by the side of the road. In 10 or 20 years, if he survives and doesn't get bed sores and infections and die, where are you going to find him? Sitting by the side of the road. And it may be that you've had a nice chat with him. You're a lovely guy. It's nice to meet you. Blah, blah, blah. But if he's still sitting by the side of the road, what difference have you made? All you've done is perpetuated what he's already at. And let's be honest, we do the same. Because if we haven't got the power of God, and we haven't got something more to give, people come to food bank, we give them food, and they'll come next week, and we'll give them food, and they'll come next month, and they'll keep doing it because we're not changing anything. We're just perpetuating where they're at. That's why we have them coming in here. That's why we talk to them outside. Because we're trying to break out of just continuing the cycle. But here's where the problem starts, because what have I got to give them? If Peter says to him, I'm sorry, fella, I've got nothing to give you, the man won't talk to him, because the man's going to look at the next punter to see if they've got some money. See, if I come to Jeff and say, Jeff, you got some money for me? And Jeff says no. While I'm talking to Jeff, you might all run out the door. So the moment Jeff says he hasn't got money for me, I'm going to get back here to try and catch everybody else. Is that not right? So if I haven't got something else to offer, all I do is make that person's life worse. It's harsh, isn't it, this morning? I thought it was going to be a nice service. It's time for change. It's time for us to have something more to give. It's time for us to have our day of Pentecost. It's time for us to say, I want more of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, getting scary ground now. Watch out. You see? Yesterday, after we finished here, I went and saw a little miracle. The rest of you don't know about it. Some of you might. Claire was doing her first full shift at McDonald's. Now, for those who don't know, Claire and her mum and dad came to the carol service and they sat there. They came to the meal and they sat at the end of the table. Claire was being terribly abused in the past. Her parents said that she's hardly gone out of the house in 3 years. But we've been talking and praying. And yesterday she did her first shift at McDonald's. I popped in to see her. Because I said I would. And she said, oh, you've come. Mum and Dad wondered where you were. Dad wants to speak to me about God. She was smiling and doing her job. That's a little miracle, not there yet. But I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of watching the crying and the weeping and the grief. I'm tired of not being having anything to give to people. We've got a guy who lives opposite me in the flats. And his house is, his flat is filthy. His life seems to be just coming outside every half hour, having a cigarette and going back into this filthy, stinking. What have I got to offer him? I could clean his house. Probably get dirty again. We did that to a lady once. We had a lady in our church. And her house was disgusting. I mean, you walked in, you could see the fleas jumping. Do you know what I mean? It really was bad. And all of her dirty pots and pans were in the bath. And she hadn't had a bath for months. And she was in hospital. And we cleaned the house. We made it immaculate. That was nice, wasn't it? Now she went nuts. She went absolutely ballistic. Because everything was the way she wanted it. And we'd moved it all. You see, we had a well-meaning idea, but it didn't mess her. It annoyed her. That bloke who lives opposite me, I want to. What can I do? Can I knock on his door and say, hello, Ken, your house is a mess. Can I come and clean it up? Can I say, your beard is disgusting. Shall I trim it for you? What have I got to give him? I could say, Ken, I'll pay you to have a cleaner. And he'll say, thank you very much. But have I changed his life? No. And the challenge is on me and the challenge is on us that if I'm going to make a difference in Ken's life, I've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got to be more filled with the Holy Spirit than I've ever known. Not just have a little toe in the water, isn't this fun, run away. I've got to be so full of the Holy Spirit that when I see Ken, I can say, I haven't got anything else to give you, but this is what Jesus has for you. is the revival that's starting around the world, is where men and women, boys and girls, are getting on their faces before God and saying, we must have God. Here's a challenge. How many of you have sat down at church at some point or other and said, we're satisfied? Church is quite nice the way it is. We don't want it to change. It's okay the way it is. You need to repent of that on your face before God. Because the moment you were satisfied, you stopped being hungry for more of God. God started to move away. Wow. That's heavy, Peter. Yeah. You see, the Holy Spirit only comes to do. He never comes to be. Right? So, if Peter gives the man a gold coin, who gets the glory? Peter. If the Holy Spirit, through Peter, heals him, who gets the glory? God. Because it says, he went leaping and praising God. If I do something for my neighbour Ken, who gets the glory? But if I bring Jesus into it, who gets the glory? God. And the Holy Spirit only comes to bring glory back to God. Whenever the Holy Spirit moves, the glory goes to God. And all of the things I've done in my life, all of the effort I've done, and people say, what an amazing, serious, sensible minister you are, that's about me getting glory for me. But if I am full and overwhelmed in the Spirit, then people won't see me anymore, thank God, some would say. They'll see Jesus and they'll glorify God. That's what's happening here. Peter and John and the others have run out in the street and they've sung in tongues, they've praised God. Remember, when the Holy Spirit comes, the praise goes to God. They were all speaking in tongues. We read it last week. And what did they say? We all heard them praising God in our language. Because why has the Holy Spirit come? To give glory back to God. Yes? So, Peter and John, they've done that. Now here comes the next lesson. They're walking down the road. This is life. This isn't in church. You know what it's like in church? You can say and do pretty much anything, you get away with it. But this is out in the streets. This is in Sainsbury's. And the person gets touched by the Holy Spirit and starts praising God. Now here comes the question. I've got three questions we've got to get to in a minute. Are we that covered in the Spirit that people see us or people see Him? Do the things I do glorify me, the church, or God? Am I in it for what I get out of it, or am I in it because I want God to be exalted and glorified? That's tough questions, isn't it? Wow. But that's the point. What's going on around the world is not a move of a denomination. It's a move of individuals who are just seeking God, seeking His Spirit, saying, I do not want to do church anymore. I want to do God. Anyone? You know, why in that revival that's been going on in Aysbury are they spending day and night in God's presence? Because they're fed up of doing church. They want to do God. My best friend was my dad. Mum and dad were my best friends. Worked with dad. How much would I give today just to spend half an hour being able to talk to Mum and Dad? Just to sit and have the wise counsel of Dad and have the fun that we used to... How much is that worth? Oh, it would be worth everything. How much will I give to do a meeting with God? Oh, well, I can't do this. I'm not doing that. I'm not comfortable with this. I'd go to the ends of the earth if I thought I could have half an hour with Dad. I think about Dad every day. Or Mum. I drive down the road. I was driving on the road this week to go and see David. And I thought, oh, I'll just phone Mum and tell her where I am. Because that's what you do, isn't it? I can't have that conversation. Sometimes things happen in church and I'm so excited I want to phone Dad and say, Dad! Oh, that's a waste of time. But now, there's a stirring because I'm starting to say, I've got to have more of God. I've got to have more of God because there's people out there who are going to hell. There are people out there who haven't got parents who cry at night on their own. There are people out there who are abusing their bodies with drugs and alcohol and other things just to try and get a peace. And I've got the answer, but if I don't get out there, they go to hell. If I do not get into the presence of God and get the fullness of what God has for me, I've got nothing to give them. And the communion is meaningless unless I've got something to give those people. Peter, John, give us some money. We haven't got any money. But we'll give you what we've got. Because we've been soaked in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, glum faces now. I'll hide behind here. You finish the sermon, all right? We can do a lot of temporary fixes. But God is calling us to start to do the Holy Spirit stuff. First thing we've got to do is get into His presence and allow Him to cover us, to soak us, to saturate us. Get so wet, you're dripping. See, earlier on in Jesus' ministry, He said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. Do you remember that? And what did Peter say? Sorry? Wash all of me. If this is important, I want everything. I've got farmers here, so I have to be careful about this. I've watched sheep and cows, and I've noticed that after a while, where the sheep or the cow graze, there isn't a lot of grass. And I've seen them pushing against a barbed wire fence just to get another mouthful of grass. Anyone else seen that? And you know the next day you come back and there's little tufts of wool on the barbed wire where they've strained just to get that little extra bit. Anyone seen that? If there was barbed wire around the presence of God, would little bits of our clothing be left behind? Because we're so desperate for His presence. If God came and said, I'm going to wash your feet, would you say, if this is important, I want all of me washed. I've got to have more. You see, we struggle because we've got a beggar church mentality. We struggle, we survive, we have little moments which are a little bit better and a little bit worse, and we struggle. We were never called to that. Anyone know that? We were called to be overcomers. Anyone read that one? We were called, I don't know, I have my teeth on. We were called to be conquerors, not to be beggars. We were never called to be poor, victimized churches, sitting in our little huddle saying, oh, pity us, It's time, exactly that. It's time the church stood up, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and made a difference. Forget going to Parliament and complaining about this, that and the other. Do you want to make a difference in the nation? You start healing people, they'll notice. What does it say in the passage we read? All the people were amazed. They knew what was going on. You go out into the streets and you start changing people's lives. You start to take the drug addicts and you get them spontaneously free of drug addiction. You take the alcoholic who stops drinking. You transform people's lives. You'll get noticed. You don't need to go and put a placard outside the Houses of Parliament. It's not fair how you treat us beggars. We were never called to do that. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus tell us to go and barricade against government. We're told to go out into the highways and the byways and touch people with the power and the presence of Almighty God. That's why you're here. If that wasn't your job, when you become born again, God could take you home. The reason God's left you on earth is there's stuff to be done. Is that right? And the Holy Spirit comes to do. And so when you're in partnership and the Holy Spirit covers you and saturates you, you'll transform lives and stuff will happen. It's time we stopped being a beggar on the floor and started to stand up and say, we are sons and daughters of the living God. I may not have money, but what I've got I'll give to you. Bang. We had a young man come into our church a few years ago. Came in this pocket he had his heroin. And in this pocket he had his beer. And he met the Holy Spirit in church. A couple of the youngsters prayed with him. Bang. He went home, washed his drugs down the sink and never ever took drugs again. You go into the story, you find he'd spent two periods of time in drug rehab. He was only 16. And they both kicked him out saying he is a no-hoper. He will die of drug overdose. One encounter with the Holy Spirit. Two young people, 15 and 16 years old, prayed with him. The Holy Spirit met with him. That guy is married today. His life's been transformed. Why? Because he had one meeting with the Holy Spirit. Because a 15 and a 16 year old had got filled and soaked and saturated with the Holy Spirit. Bang, they had something to give him. How many of you talk to your neighbour, your friend, and as they download all the stuff, you think, I've got nothing to give them? It's time we got right in the presence of God and say, Father God, saturate me so that when that happens, I know what I've got to do. I know what I've got to say. You see, if I start grabbing lame people and making them stand up, I'm going to look silly, aren't I? But if I've got so much Holy Spirit in me, he's telling me, I don't have to worry because he's going to do it. So when Jesus comes to Lazarus's tomb, what does he pray? He says, Father, I know you're going to do this because you've already told me. But I'm praying this so they know it's you. Let's do it. And out comes Lazarus. Can you imagine? You're walking down the road and you see a lame man. You say, I know what God's going to do because he's already told me. Come on, get up. Here's Jesus. Could you get excited by that? It happens when people of God push into his presence and say, I must have everything you've got for me. I want God. So here's a question for you. Anyone hungry? Are you hungry enough to do something about it? You know what it's like when you're sitting down, maybe you're watching television or something, and you're very comfortable and snug and warm, maybe you've got a blanket around or something, and your belly just gives that little rumble. And you think, I'm a bit hungry. But I'm warm and I'm comfortable and I'm enjoying this program, and your belly gives a bit more of a rumble. But you're still warm and comfortable, aren't you? You're enjoying where you're sitting. And eventually your belly sends out warning signals. It's really getting hungry. And eventually you get hungry enough that you get out of your seat and you go and eat something you shouldn't do. Not that any of you would do that. That's why I had to lose weight, because I answered the call too often. Are we hungry enough for God to say, I've got to do something about this? I want to be part of what God is doing today. We're a new church, a new day. I had a long chat with Joel yesterday. See, all sorts of stuff happens after you guys leave. And he was saying that they'd been at the New Wine Leaders Conference this week, getting ready for the New Wine Conference that's coming later in the year. And we were talking and he said, it was different. There was a hunger there. And I grinned. And the pastors from Connections are meeting up in a couple of weeks' time. And I've been mischievous. Because Joel is the son of Simon, who's one of the trustees. So I've been saying to Joel, I really don't want to go to this pastor's conference unless we get time to seek the presence of God. Now I know for a lot of the more traditional pastors, that's a scary place, isn't it? So I've kept... He said to me, we've got a worship leader coming for the conference. And she is always being led by the Spirit and going off and doing stuff. I thought, that'll do. Now I want to go. Because I want more. You see, there are 23 churches in the Connections group. And if I catch fire enough, can I get one or two of them to catch fire? Can I sit with other ministers, Joel and I, and Simon? If we are on fire, can we burn them a little bit? Can we shake them out of their traditionalism and suddenly have 20 churches on fire? Could we do that? We can if I push into the presence. Could you impact your neighbour, your friend, your son, your daughter? But not if you fabricate it. Do you know, so often we think, right, I've got God. You go to your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband. Right, I've got God today. You've got to listen to me or else. No. You see, when you are immersed in God, God makes things happen. It's not your business to make things happen. Your business is to be ready. So John and Peter didn't make this meeting happen. He called out to them. It's like John says, have you started this, bud? See what you're going to get now. And what I find is the more people push into God and the Holy Spirit and all that he has, the more he manufactures meetings. How hungry are you? I want everything there is, God. Because I've got a church of people that are hungry for more of you. I've got to push in. Because this is my family. Warts, spots, wrinkles and all, we're family. People with no hair, people with lovely hair, people with black, white hair, grey hair, we're family. I want the best for my family. Because if we all have the best, we're going to transform this world. So we're going to worship. Take a bit of time and just seek God's presence. Ask yourself the question, without anybody else involved, do I want more? Am I prepared to go for it? This isn't a place of judgment, criticism, anything else. It's just we're opening up a space and saying, if you want to push in for more, let's do it. If it frightens you, scares you, worries you, that's okay. This isn't an expectation or an obligation. It's I want more of God. But here's the thing. Just in closing, because I've gone on far too long already. What if the lame man had said, I'm not getting up? What if Peter and John said, get up, and he said, no? What would he have got? What if God calls you to do something? My son, when he was healed, God spoke to him and said, get out of your wheelchair and walk out. What if he'd said no? What if God wants to meet you, but he wants to know if you'll say yes? What if your healing is being held back because you're not getting up when he comes and says, get up? No finger pointing, no looking at anybody or anything like that. Please don't take it that way. See, my dad had a duodenal ulcer. Anyone know what a duodenal ulcer is? Good. I've got no idea, but it sounds wonderful. And that meant he had that very bland food. Yes, everyone relate to that? And he went to a healing conference. A guy called Oral Roberts. Anyone heard of Oral Roberts? Yeah, okay, good. Okay. So, dad goes, and the man prays for him, and the man says, go home and eat a pickled onion. And my dad says, yeah, I've got a duodenal ulcer. Pickled onions like flames and... Dad goes home, and he grabbed every type of pickle and spice he could find, and he pigged out. And he'd been totally and completely healed. The lame man, they said, get up. Now, if he'd got up and hadn't been healed, he would have hurt himself, because his legs would have collapsed, he'd have fallen over, he'd look a right prune. But because God told him to do it, he was totally healed. So here's the question, that's how I want to leave it. What is God asking you to do? Or what is God asking you to say? Not anyone else, remember anyone else. What's God saying to you? Answer what he's saying. And then he will minister to you more and more of the Holy Spirit. Not about anybody else. It's not about you must do this or you mustn't do that. What's God saying? But as I said last week, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So we're going to put a couple of worship songs on. I'm not going to make you do anything or say anything. I'm going to be here, worshipping. If you want to join me, that's fine. If you don't, it's absolutely fine too. But I've got to have more of God. Because the lame man needs to walk again. The lame church needs to walk again. The lame Christians need to walk again. So that we can transform this world. So Graham's going to play a couple of songs. The first one just says, here I am, waiting. You've been sitting for a while, so it'd probably be good for you to stand just for a little bit. So we'll stand as we start to sing and then see what God says. But make this our prayer. Here I am, Lord. I'm waiting for you. Let's stand. Thank you, Graham.
Oh. looking, longing.
One more song. while we play it, I'd like to invite you all to just pray with the person that's nearest to you. And just pray that the Holy Spirit falls on them. Doesn't matter where you are. Just pray with the person next to you. If there's no one next to you, find someone in the next row. But everybody, pray for someone and then receive prayer for more of the Holy Spirit. Because this is a church. We want everybody to have more of God. We don't have two or three elite. We want everybody. So if you're at the front, just pray with the person next to you. If you're seated down, person next to you, just pray more of God. Thanks, Graham. And just take 5 minutes and just really just pray together. Lay hands on one another. Kima shikira kali yanda baku yanda. Jeff, go and pray with the two men. Would you mind just going and praying with those two men? Gotta have more of you, Holy Spirit. Both can pray for each other. Shikila Babara Kushiana.
Lift him up.